Good morning. This shiur is dedicated to the memory of Binyamin Ze'ev and Talia Kahana, and for that matter, all who have Nebuch lost their lives in the last few months in this terrible situation in which we find ourselves. And Yehidata Milchnei Avinu Shabar Shemayim, that we should see our way clear and out of this B'shalom B'shalva. In our last shiur before Hanukkah, we learned chapter 6. Now, we have not said everything that has to be said on chapter 6, but we will say more about it as we go through a number of other chapters, because they are interrelated, and we will get to it all. The sheets that you have in front of you, so you'll see in a moment why I feel a terribly important need to learn certain things with you. These two sheets, one of them, this one, this side. Now, for those of you who come to the Parsha Shiur, what I have over here is something that I said in Parsha Shiur two weeks ago, but that's not important. It is from the Mesilat Yesharim. And you'll see in a moment what its relationship is to Yeshayahu. I mean, the reason why I'm learning this with you is because I believe that I have found an interesting pshat in a pasuk in Yeshayahu that we're going to learn soon, and we'll learn it now. You know, okay, just give me a few minutes. I want to say something. Just give me a few minutes and you'll see exactly where we're going. The Mesilat Yesharim was written by Moshe Chaim Lutzato. Moshe Chaim Lutzato was a great Kabbalist. Unfortunately, he died about age 40, but he wrote a tremendous number of absolutely powerful and deep Svarim. The Mesilat Yesharim, the Path of the Righteous, is the one that has become a basic text of Musar in all of the yeshivas, and for that matter, the whole world. I had used this Mesilas Yesharim in order to explain the problem that existed between Yosef and his brothers. The brothers did not understand Yosef. They were blind to what Yosef really was. And what we explained then, that at the great moment when Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, then all of a sudden they see the light. Now, this Mesilat Yesharim is a classic. Right hand column, the last paragraph. You know, I'm going to start with the I'm going to start two paragraphs before. It'll just take a few moments, because it's classic. Klal hadavar, right-hand side. Klal hadavar, the rule is the following. Yiyeha adam ma'ayen al ma'asav kulam. A person should always look into his deeds, u'mefakeach al kol derachav, and investigate, look carefully, all of the roads that he travels on. What does he do? What's he doing in life? A person should not permit himself to remain with a bad habit or a bad character or personality trait. Certainly, he should not permit some sin or some act of rebellion to become part of his conduct. I see that it is necessary for man that he should weigh and measure his ways every day. Like big businessmen, they are always weighing. Yifales can mean, you know, peles hamaznayim are the scales of justice. They weigh in the scales all of their business so that they things don't go bad. If you don't look after your business, things may very well get much worse. If you don't look after yourself, things may get much worse. And a person should set aside times and hours that for himself to sit down and make the cheshbon hanefesh. I'm doing the right thing. Have I, God forbid, maybe adopted certain bad habits? Person has to always be careful about what he does. Okay. Shaloyem mishkolo arai, his weighing and measuring should not be something that is only casual. Elo b'kviud gadol, it has to be absolutely kavua, established. Ki rav hatoladahu, because there's a great deal that can come from this. I mean, obviously, you see with this one paragraph why the Mesilat Yesharim has become the classic sefer of Musar, and the whole idea of setting aside time every day to take a look at one's life seriously. Our rabbis of blessed memory, they taught us clearly the need and the necessity to make this accounting, a personal accounting of my own deeds and actions. And this is what the Gemara says, Zelushonam. Pasuk at the end of Parashat, at the end of Parashat Chukat, Al Kain Yomru HaMoshlim, therefore the sayers of parables are the ones who make the statement, Bo'u Cheshbon, come to Cheshbon. And the Gemara says on this, Al Kain Yomru HaMoshlim, who are the rulers? HaMoshlim B'Yitzram, those who rule over their inclinations. Do you know how you rule over your inclinations? By saying, Bo'u Nechashev Cheshbono Shel Olam, let us make the accounting of the world. And the accounting of the world means the personal accounting of good over evil. Has saved mitzvah, what do I lose by doing a mitzvah? Can I get schara? I have to weigh that against the reward that comes, you know? Well, it took me 10 minutes to do a mitzvah, I had to spend 10 minutes, or maybe it cost me $10, but take a look at the reward. Uschar aveira, one also has to consider the reward or the benefit or the joy or the pleasure that one gets for an aveira, but can I get have said you have to take a look at what kind of a terrible loss one incurs as a result of doing an aveira. Vizeki ha'itzoha mitit hazot lo yuchlu latet otar v'lo lid'ot amita ela otam shekvar yatsu mitachat yad yitzram u'mashlubo. Says a very important statement he's making. The Gemara is saying those who rule over their inclinations should make the accounting. Because he says, a person who has not yet gained the ability to rule over his inclinations will not be able to make a proper accounting. If one is still victim or enslaved to his desires and passions, he's never going to be able to make a clear and absolutely honest evaluation of mitzvah keneged aveira. Won't be able to do it. Hang in. By the time I'm finished with you, who knows where you will be? V'zeh? Let me read this again. Ki ha'etzah ha'mitis hazos, this true advice, lo yuchlu lateto tava lo lidot amita. You can't give this advice, and you can't see the truth of it. Only those who have already moved out from under the hand of their inclination, and they rule over their inclination. By the way, his Hebrew is absolutely beautiful, and he is really considered, according to many, Rabbi Shechem Litzata was considered the father of modern Hebrew, though he wrote the Mesilas Yesharim about 200, 300 years ago. But his Hebrew is classic. So he says, because somebody who is still chavush the ma'asar, who is still imprisoned in the ma'asar of Yitzro, in the prison, the bonds of his evil inclination, ein einav ro'ot ha'emet, his eyes will never be able to see the truth. I mean, just watch what's happening before our very eyes now. Everybody is talking about, you know, what's best for us and for the country and for everything, and we all know that everybody is speaking out of their own selfish, small interests, and they try to leave us with the impression that Their own interests mean nothing. What are you talking about? Be elected has absolutely nothing to do with all. We're looking for the derech hanechona. All right. So he says that anybody who is still under the under his inclinations will never see the truth. Ein einav ro'ot ha'emet hazot. His eyes don't see this truth. He can't even recognize. He doesn't know anymore what the truth is. Doesn't know what the truth is. Because the inclination of man blinds his eyes, mamish. The person who has his own interests and his own desires, kaholeich b'chaushech, is somebody who goes in the darkness. Sheyesh lefanov michshalot, before him there are all sorts of obstacles. The ein einav ro'ot otam, his eyes can't see them. He's blind. And here, he says there are two kinds of blindness. There are two kinds of problems that result from darkness. Vuhuma, and this part we said in the Shir, 2 weeks ago in the Parsha Shir. Vuhuma sha'omru zichronam levracha, and this is what our rabbis of blessed memory said, toshet choshech v'yihi laila. He makes darkness, and it is night. This is in Baruch Inafshi. So the Gemara says, Zeh ha'olam hazeh shetoma lalayla. You know what darkness is? This world, which is like darkness. V'hovein, and understand, kamonifla ha'maymer ha'amiti hazeh. How amazing, how incredible is this true statement. L'misha ma'amik lahavinbo, to the one who thinks about it with depth. The darkness of night can cause two mistakes. A man can end up with one or two mistakes as a result of darkness. The darkness covers his eyes, he doesn't see what's before him. There may be a pit, there may be a stone, there may be a rock, there may be an indentation in the ground. I just don't see what's there. It's dark. I don't see. Oh. There's another possibility. It's dark, but I think I can make out what's ahead. Or that it causes him to make the mistake. Until he sees a pillar and he thinks it's a man. Or he sees really a man, but he thinks it's a pillar. You know, it's dark. You can't really make out what's ahead of him. So too is the materialism and the gashmius of this world. It's choshech halayla le'ein haseichel. The material and physical pleasures and benefits of this world are like the darkness of night to the eye of the intellect. And that there's an eye with which I see physically, and there's the intellectual eye with which I know what to do and what not to do. V'goren lo shtei tauyot. So being the physical world causes man two intellectual mistakes. Eino maniach lo shiyireh mifshalot shebetarkei olam. Doesn't let him see the stumbling blocks that are there as you go through the world. There are stumbling blocks. There are obstacles. Life is an obstacle course. He can't see it because his eyes are darkened. So the fools go with what they think is safety and security, and they fall, and they're lost. They never even were afraid in advance because they didn't see what was happening. All of a sudden, you come to the edge of a cliff. It was dark. You didn't see. So you fell off the cliff. That's what the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Derech Rishoyim Ka'afelo, the way of the wicked is like the darkness. Lo yodu bamei yikoshelu. This is the first kind of darkness where he doesn't even see what's ahead of him. He doesn't know what he's going to stumble over. V'omer, and it says, Orum, the clever one, ra'o, he saw the evil before him, v'nistar, and he hid. U'petoyim of Avru, and the fools went ahead, forged ahead, v'ne'en shu'en, and were punished. The one who's clever knows, let's stop right now. I'm not taking another step until I know what's ahead of me. And then the fools just keep rushing ahead. Ein derech acheret. There is no other way. We have to forge ahead. Okay? And the pasuk says, U kisil mitaver u boteach. The fool gets angry, or he passes over, and he walks with tremendous sense of security. Ki libam barilahem ku'ulam. Their heart is as, they feel as healthy as, the ulam means something very big. The noflin terem yedu mehamikshol klau. They fall before they even know what's there. It happens swiftly, suddenly, because the darkness simply closes before them the ability to see. V'hata'ut hasheni, the second mistake that comes as a result of darkness. And here he says, oh, this is even more serious than the first. Kashim and Arishon, it's more difficult than the first. Hushemateviyatam, that the darkness causes a person to make a mistake in what he's seeing, because his problem is he thinks he's seeing. If you know that you don't know what's ahead of you, you're one step ahead. If I know that, I don't know. So then I need to open my eyes and I need light to see what's going to happen. But what about those who keep moving ahead, forging ahead, because they think they know what they're doing? And the mistake is, Acheroim harak ilu hu mamish tov, they see that which is bad as though it's real good. It's real good. V'hatov keilu ra, and what's good they see as ra. U'mitoch kach, because of this, mitchaskim, they strengthen themselves, umarsiki maseim horoim, and they continue to hold on to their evil deeds because they think this is good. They've convinced themselves intellectually that what I'm doing is absolutely good. And really, it's really darkness that is overcoming. Not enough that they are lacking to see the truth. They can't see the evil that is there before them. You know what they're able to do? They're able to find all sorts of proofs and all sorts of fancy terminology and all sorts of slogans to convince themselves and convince others that what you think is good, this is the best thing possible. I need one. All right. They bring big proofs in its nisyonot and tests that prove their bad ideas and their opinions that are absolute false and lies. This is the great evil that hugs them and surrounds them, and it brings them el be'er shachat, to the pit of the grave. And that's what the pasuk says. Aha! A pasuk in Perek 6 of Yeshayahu. And by the way, that's not the reason why I'm learning this. Even though he quotes chapter 6. Hashmein leiv ha'am hazeh v'oznov ha'gbeid ve'enav hosha pen yir'eh be'enav pen yir'eh be'enav lest he will see. It's an amazing pasuk over there in chapter 6. This is the first message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to Yeshayahu. Hashmein, pasuk Yud in chapter 6. Hashmein leiv ha'am hazeh. Their heart is fat. V'oznov hachbeid. And the ears are heavy. Ve'enov hasha. And his eyes he have turned away. Pen yireh be'enov, lest he will see with his eyes. U'baznov yishma. And with his ears he will hear. U'levavo yavin. And his heart will understand. V'shov v'rafolo. Then he will be able to do tshuva and it will be healed. But they don't hear. They don't. What is it? Hashmein leiv ha'am hazeh. In other words, hear no evil. See no evil. Sense no evil. V'cholzeh. And all of this, he says, because they are in darkness, and they are occupied under the rule of their inclinations. All right. One. this leads me to the Gemara that I have down on the bottom of that page. I just want to share with you something that occurred to me that I think is not, it may be not bad, unless I'm blind. So you'll decide whether it's not bad. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis learned mitzvahs ner Chanukah. The mitzvah of Chanukah is ner ish ubeito, a candle for each man in his family. In other words, one candle every night for a whole family. Mahadrin, and those who are more mahader, more pious, ner lechol echo ve'echod, each member of the house lights one candle, and that's every night. Dar mahadrin mina mahadrin. By the way, I don't have a real good translation for the word mahadrin. I take back what I said, the more pious or the more religious. Beauty. In other words, those who want to beautify the mitzvah even more. Mahadrin min amahadrin. What are the exceptional people who exceptionally beautify the mitzvah? And of course, what's fascinating about Chanukah is all of us are mahadrin min hamahadrin when it comes to Chanukah. Beit Shammai say Yom Rishon, the first day, Madlik Shmona, you light 8. According to Beit Shammai, you start the first night with 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Mikan ve'elech, from the first day and further, pochet v'holech, it goes down. Ubeit Hillel omrim, and Beit Hillel say, Yom Rishon Madlik Achat, first night you light 1. Mikan ve'elech, from there on and further, from the first day and further, mosif v'holech, you add candles, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So of course there's been a great deal of discussion. The Gemara discusses what is the machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Why does Beit Shammai say what they say? Why does Beit Hillel say what they say? This year, I think, I don't know, that's what I want to share with you, a thought that occurred to me, that it may very well be, and this is in general true, Eilu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Beit Shammai says the truth, Beit Hillel says the truth. Because they're both talking about light. And they're both talking about light that is going to lighten, shed light upon the darkness. So I want to say the following. The Mesilat Yesharim said that there are two mistakes that come as a result of the darkness. One is, I simply don't see what's there before me. The second is the mistake of, I think I see. And he says, that's a more difficult mistake. When I think I see, it's going to be a great deal more difficult to convince me that I'm not seeing the truth. I see good as evil and evil as good. You go convince me otherwise. Beit Shammai is talking about darkness, that one simply cannot see what's in front of him. There are all sorts of stumbling blocks on the way. There are danger lurks. You know what you have to do under those circumstances? One big burst of light. At the moment the darkness is lit up, I see already what's before me. I know that I have to be careful. And even if the light diminishes, but I know, I've learned that I must watch myself because there are all sorts of dangers that lurk along the way. Beit Hillel is talking about the person who thinks he knows, thinks he can see, and his problem is that he has already developed an approach. It's a shita, it's an opinion. That's a man. It's not a poll, it's a man. And by the way, he most probably can bring 100 proofs that it's a man and not a poll. So you'll show him one big burst of light that it's a poll. You know what his problem is going to be? He'll still try and convince you and me that that's a man. Because he already has a vested interest in this. He has already convinced himself intellectually. He has convinced himself intellectually that this is the path to be taken by Klal Yisrael. You show him it doesn't look like that? Nope, he will continue. This fellow, the one who has already developed an entire approach, is the one that with the great burst of light, nothing is going to happen. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to re-educate him. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to start with one little bit of light the first night. And you're going to start questioning, well, take a look at it now. Is that really man or is it pillar? You know, it's getting a little clearer. He's not sure. As you go day by day, 2, 3, 4, you're educating the person that, wait a minute, you may have to make a dramatic change in your entire way of thinking, until by the last night, 8 candles, and you see the truth. So this is the way I want to explain the machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. They're each talking about something different. But here comes the coup de grace. If you have a Yeshayahu open in front of you, chapter 9. Yeah. Take a look. Yeah, don't be afraid of the pasuk. Don't be afraid. Chapter 9, the first pasuk. Ha'om ha'holchim b'choshech, of people that goes in the dark, ro'u or gadol, they saw a great burst of light. Yoshvei be'eretz shalmavet, those who live in the land of shalmavet, and we'll discuss in a moment what it means, or naga aleihem, the light began to shine upon them. So I say the two parts of the pasuk are so clearly Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Ha'om ha'olchim b'choshech, of people that are going in the dark, they can't see what's in front of them. You know what they need? One big burst of light, or gadol. That's Beit Shammai. 8 candles the first night, they know what the darkness is, and they know what the problem is, and therefore, even if the light begins to diminish, they know that danger lurks before them, and they're going to watch. But Yoshvei de'edet, some others, those who have settled into a land of the shadow of death, may not be so dark. They think they know what they see. They have already begun to convince themselves. They've begun to convince themselves of the truth. You know what they need? Step by step. Or naga aleihem. The light began to shine upon them. 1, 2, 3, 4. Beit Hillel. I think that's a beautiful pshat in the pasuk. I like it. And I wanted to share it with you. Alright, wait, maybe I should clean off the desk. Maybe the desk should look like, not like some mad professor. Lo kemo, ani lo rotze le'ra'ot kemo, the svarim air Twitter. Alright, so at least open it up, you know. Then I can make believe, that there's another tape recorder over here and everybody wants to know what I have to say. Okay? Should I put on a jacket?
As you wish.
Huh?
Yeah, the
plastic bag doesn't belong here. Well, where's my tea?
Here.
You took my... My tea is a basic part of the... the chelek built in your garden. All right. Huh?
No,
sweater is the Israeli ma'od. Make it nice. All right. That's part one. Next. The sheet. Not this sheet. The one. The first. Now, that first one. There are two sides to it. One side is page one, says page 113 on it. Look at 113, because 113, you see, 113, this is a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Where it says, Bet, my Kesher Rishoim. We're going to see a pasuk in chapter 8 or chapter 9, we don't have to look at the pasuk right now, but the Navi talks about Kesher Rishoyim. Kesher Rishoyim is a conspiracy of the evil. And God seems to be telling Chizkiyahu HaMelech, don't be concerned about a Kesher Rishoyim. Don't be concerned about about a conspiracy of the evil. So the Gemara asks, what's called a kesher rishayim? So now I know that I may be accused of incitement, but I'm only learning the Gemara. The Gemara says the following: Shevna, there was a man in Yerushalayim whose name was Shevna. Yeah, I'm doing it again now because we're going to read the Pesukim. Because now it's Yishayahu. Shevna was the head of the household of Hizkiyahu, king of Yehuda. Havidorish betleisa dibivasa. There were 130,000 who came to his shear. When he gave a shear, 130,000 people came. Chizkiyo, the king, when he said his here, 10,000 came, 110,000. In other words, Shevna was clearly leading in all of the polls. No question about it. It seems that a majority of the people are there with Shevna. He was the second in command. In other words, what Yosef was to Paro, he was the Chizkiyahu. He was the one in charge of the house of the palace. He also Sancheriv Tzora Lady Yerushalayim, when Sancheriv king of Ashur came, and he besieged the city of Yerushalayim. And we're going to see our next step is going to move into the history of the period, because chapter 6 in Yishayahu was in the days of Uzziyahu and Yotam. It was, remember, we'll get to that. And chapter 7 is going to begin in the days of Ochaz, who is the son of Yotam. We'll give you all the history. And following Ochaz, Ochaz's son is going to be Chizkiyahu. Ochaz, we will see, was a Rasha. Now it's the days of Chizkiyahu. Those are the period of Yishayahu covers. As it says at the beginning of Yishayahu, Ben Amos Ashechoz HaYehud of Yerushalayim B'nei, in the days of Uzziyahu, Yotam, Achaz, Yechizkiyahu, Malchei Yehuda. Chapter 1 is in the days of Uzziyahu, or at the time of the death of Uzziyahu, which we explained was not really his death, but the day that he was struck down with leprosy because he attempted to act like a Kohen Gadol as well as king. And for that, he was a leper until the end of his life. After Uzziyahu comes Yotam, who was a tzaddik. Ochaz was a rasha, and Chizkiyahu was a tzaddik. I mean, there was an interesting progression over there. I think each one rebelled against his father. Uzziyahu, though he was very good, but he did a terrible thing, so his son Yotam, how can you aggravate your parents more than anything else? Your father's a Russian, and you become a tzaddik, you understand? That's aggravation, understand? But now, Ochaz, who was the son of Yotam, how can he aggravate his father? By being a Russian, Ochaz was very bad. Chizkiyahu, of course, comes along after Ochaz, and he is the great tzaddik, who probably was one of the greatest tzaddikim of the kings of Yehuda. So here it is, we are now in the days of Chizkiyahu. And in the days of Chizkiyahu, we're going to see, in chapter 7 of Yishayahu, we're going to be talking about the days of Ochaz, and then the main power, the superpower of the day, is Aram. By the time of Chizkiyahu, the son, Aram, the great power, is going to disappear from the face of this earth, and the rise of Ashur, Assyria, becomes the great power, and Sancheriv, king of Assyria, is the one who now lays siege to Yerushalayim. When the siege began, so it says, Ketav Shevna Pitka, Shevna wrote a note, Shoda Begira, and he shot it with an arrow outside of the city, and in it he said the following, Shevna v'siyato hishlimu, Shevna and his group, hishlimu, have, well, you can either say it means made peace, or they agree to give Yerushalayim over to the enemy. Chizkiyahu v'seyato lo hishlimu. Chizkiyahu and his group refused to give Yerushalayim, including Har HaBayit, of course, to the enemy. So here it is, we have And it sounds like modern history. Shevna v'siyato hishlimu, chizkiyo v'siyato lo hishlimu. And who tells them this? This message is sent by Shevna out to the enemy. You understand? You know, Sancherev, your rush over there, we're ready to do business with you, we're going to talk with you, and not only that, you can have Yerushalayim. Shenema, because it says, Kinei Harushoim Yidrichun Keshet, the evil, this is a pasuk in Tehillim, Kinei Harushoim Yidrichun Keshet, the Rishoim taught the bow, Konunuch Chitzam Al Yeter, on the string of the bow they have their arrow, and the arrow goes shooting out. Havakomistafi Cheskia, Cheskia was frightened. Why was Chizkiah frightened? Because he thought that God checks the latest polls, and since in the latest polls, Shevna is leading, so that means there are a majority of Jews who are with Shevna. Havakom mistafei Chizkiah. Chizkiah was afraid. Omar, he said, Dilma chas v'sholem, nafya daite de hakutcha benichu bataruba, could be the opinion of God has moved toward the rove, the majority, kivun deruba minzidi. And since the majority are going to be given over to the enemy, they're giving themselves over to the enemy. In Hunami Mimsuri, we're also going to be given over to the enemy. Bon Novi Va'omalo. Along came the Novi and told him, and this is a pasuk in Chet and Ted, Lo Tomrun Kesha in Chet. Chet Yudbed. Lo Tomrun Kesha. Don't say conspiracy l'chol asher yomar ha'om hazeh kesher to whatever this people. Don't be concerned about the conspiracy of this people. Klomar, what is Yeshayahu telling Chizkiyo? Kesher ishoyim hu. This is a conspiracy of the evil. The kesher ishoyim eino min aminyan. And a conspiracy of evil is not considered anything that you have to be concerned about. Shevna, who already saw himself as the leader of the Jewish people, that he was going to take the kingdom from Chizkiyahu, because he now has the majority, the people are with him, and he's going to bring peace, because he's going to give Yerushalayim as the price of peace to Sancherev. So, you know, over here they say that, you know, when the polls are in your favor, tofrim lahem, you know, they start sewing chalifot suits, because they're going to come sahim. His suit was, he dug for himself a grave. He bought for himself a grave amongst the kivrei malchus beis David, amongst the graves of the kings of David and others. He saw himself as being buried in great pomp and circumstance, you understand? Ultimately, Achameh Vesem Shana as a member of the house of David. Halach Lachzalo Kedah B'Kivrei Beit David, so he went to dig a grave for himself amongst the Kivrei Beit David. Bon Novi Yeshayahu came to Amarlo and he told him, and this we're going to see a few psukim in chapter 22. Malacha Po, what do you have here? Umilacha Po, who here is with you? Kichot Safta Lacha Po Keva, that you had the nerve to go dig a grave for yourself here. Hine Hashem Taltelcha Taltelas Gava, God is going to cause you to wander, and nothing is going to come of all of your plans. Amar Rav, it says Taltelo Gover means the movement or the wandering of a man. So Rav says that from this passage we learn Tultula the Gavri Koshi Midiyitza. A man wandering is more difficult than a woman wandering. I don't know whether he means because a woman is able to take care of herself better than men who are very often useless when it comes to a lot of important things. Maybe women are more able to adapt to different situations. That's why Yeshayahu refers to the movement or the wandering of a male. V'otcha oto. The pasuk goes on to say, otcha oto. You are covered up. Fascinating. This is what happens to Shevna. Omer Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanin Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanin said, Malamid Sheporcha Votzarat. Here also we have a case that God punishes Shevna because he wants to give away Yerushalayim, and Tzorat overcomes it. In other words, it seems that anyone who touches Yerushalayim or Harabayit, Sarat is that which overtakes him. Why? Because what does Oto mean? Oto means covered, and the Metzora would walk around with his face covered. The Torah says that he should have his face covered. And the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, as we will see it, Sanof Yitznafot Sinefor Kadur El Eretz Rachvat Yodayim, you will wonder like Kadur. Rashi, we will see, says, you know what Kadur means? Float of the laws that the children play with. You know, a ball? A ball! Like a ball in Eretz Rachvat Yodayim, can you imagine? A ball along a hillside. It just jumps and it runs and it skips and uncontrollable. That's what's going to happen with Shevna. Tana, we learned who bikesh kolon beit Adonav. He wanted to bring shame upon the house of his master Chizkio. Lefichach, therefore, ne'apach kvodo l'kolon, his great honor turned into great shame and embarrassment. Ki havenofik ihu. Now, forgive me if I, you know, I can't help but learn my own pshat over here. Shevna is on his way out of the city in order to hand the keys of Yerushalayim over to Sanchedev, king of Ashur. And he has his whole entourage that are with him. All those people who are behind him and say, yes, this is the great step that has to be taken for peace. Ki havenofik ihu, as he went out of the city, God has a great sense of humor. Ata Gavriel, came the Malach Gavriel, achdei ledosha, be'ape, mashir yate. He shut the door. Shevna walks out of the city, and the moment Shevna walks out of the city and his whole entourage is to follow him, along came Gabriel and shut the gates of the city in front of the entire his whole entourage. You know what's really happening? He doesn't know it yet. He's walking alone. The fact is, it may very well be that they all jumped ship, you understand? The coalition fell apart. They saw that this is not going to work. This one leaves, that one leaves, you know, Shas walks out, Maftal walks out, Yisrael Baliyah walks out, you understand? Rani Milo is getting ready to jump ship next week. I don't know what took him so long. Melchior most probably will go down with the ship, you understand? You know, all the rats jumped the ship. So over here it's Gavriel who comes and makes sure that his whole group, you know what he's left with at the end? All alone. Next slide, says the Gemara, Amrulei, when he arrives by Sanherev, and this is fascinating, they said to him, Mashir Yatechecho, where is your group? Where are all of your people? Amar, he finally said the truth. Unbelievable. Hadirubi, they backed out on me. Rashi says, Hadirubi, of us. You're coming to negotiate and give over the city of Yerushalayim, but you have no mandate. You don't have a Knesset, you don't have a government, you don't have a party, you don't have nothing. You don't even have the Attorney General with you. So you're making a joke. Who are you to negotiate? What are you doing here? No, I can't say the rest. The rest is that they ran him through with some 300 spears and turned him into a sieve. All right. Now, take a look at chapter 22. Chapter 22 in Yeshayahu. And we may yet need that last piece of Gemara, but chapter 22. Pasuk 15. Chapter 22, Pasuk 15. Ko amar Hashem elokim tzakot. So says the God of hosts. Leich, he tells Yeshayahu, Leich, go. Bo el hasochein hazeh. Come to this sochein. There are a number of Sochein is really the title that he had as the one who was in charge of the house of Chizkiyahu. There is also, and the Gemara alludes to it, and some of the Mefarshim do, that Sochein is also used in a negative way. It's not really a positive kind of an eight. So yeah, you're talking about, you know, everybody has his Sochein Bituach and a Sochein Nisiyot and a Sochein Hin and a Sochein, but that's not what Yishayo means. There is a woman who's called Sochenet. When David is old, they bring a woman to him to give him warmth. Avishag HaShinamit, she is the Sochenet. So that there is some kind of a negative connotation. The Pilegesh, the concubine of the house of Chizkiyahu, in a sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using the term Sochein, not so much in the as a title of honor for Shevna, but also he's the
manipulator.
I wouldn't call it manipulator. I'd say something sort of the one who you have your ring. What does Sincino say?
Sincino says steward.
Steward. No, steward is already more positive. In other words, I would say something, an expression of scorn. Ah, in other words, when you call a prime minister a steward, I mean, that's pretty bad. That's most probably what they mean over there. I can't hear. A poodle. All right, okay, that's a very, very contemporary translation for a wheeler dealer. I'm afraid to say, yeah, you're saying it as Sochein, a wheeler dealer, a dealer. In what? Like a trafficker or a shtickle prostitute. There's something about him where he prostrates or prostitutes himself before the. Before the enemy. So Hashem says, Lev bol ha-sochein hazeh, go to this Sochein, al shevna asher al ha-bayit. And Hashem, there are very few prophecies that are said specifically about one individual. Very few. In all of the years of prophecy, very few prophecies specifically addressed about a particular person. Obviously, the one who wants to give Yerushalayim to the enemy deserves the dubious honor of having a prophecy addressed and directed to him. Malachopo, how the Gemara brought this. You know, it just goes to tell Shevna, Malachopo, what are you doing here? Milachopo, who do you have here? Kichotzafta lachopo kover, you've dug for yourself a grave here? Chotzvi marom kivro. The one who, upon the very heights, he digs for himself his grave. You know, in English it also has a very fascinating idea to it. He is digging his own grave. That's exactly what Shevna is doing. Chokiki by Sela, the ones who carve out in the rock, Mishkanlo, a dwelling place for himself. So I want you to know you're not going to have your grave. And you're not going to have this place of honor. God is going to cause you to move and to wander the wandering of a man. And you're going to be covered. And as the Gemara said, you're going to be covered up because you there's going to be leprosy. Yes?
Is leprosy like kind, a reference to kind, that
you'll
be wandering like kind?
Yeah, it could be.
The only other person
I'm going to
not like that.
Could be, yes. Then Shevna, he's telling the enemy, please sit here. Very interesting. Very, just for a moment. I like it. It's not bad. The Dat Mikra says We have no clarity on the meaning of the name Shevna. Down in the footnote he says, it may be a kitzur of the name. There's a name Shevnia, and there is a name Shevniyahu in Tanakh. But I like, that's a cute shot. Now, if I don't find anything better, it will go up a level from cute to maybe even good. Well, not bad. Not bad. Good. Okay. Shevna. Sonof Yitznaf. Sonof Yitznaf Chotzenefa. When in Yitzhak Hashem we get to this section of Yeshayahu, you're going to see that Yeshayahu is going to use words in different ways, and the words are used in groups of three. Tzanof, Yitznaf, Chotzenefa. It comes from the word mitznefet. Mitznefet is a hat that covers you up. you will be covered over. And then the verse says that three times the root of cover is being used in order to say you're going to be covered up. Kadur el eretz rachbagadayim, like the, and you're going to move. You're going to be tossed around like a ball to an our land that's rachbagadayim. Shoma tamud, there you shall die, not here. There, when you die, there you're going to have the chariots of your great honor. Clone Beit Adonecha, because you wanted to shame the house of your master. Kiskiyo is the king of Yehuda, and you want to bring shame upon him. What you're going to end up with is shame yourself. V'hadavticha mimatzavecha. I will push you, shove you away from where you stand. And from there where you seem to be standing, you will be crushed. Okay, got it. That day, the karati laavti le'el yokim ben chilkiyahu. It didn't occur to me. El Yakim is going to bring you down. His name is El Yakim, right? I didn't plan this. And I didn't... Yes, the one who's going to take the place of Shevna is going to be Eliakim ben Chilkio. V'hilbashtiv kutontecha, I'm going to clothe him in your garments, in your raiments. V'avnetcha achazkenu, and with your belt, in other words, the belt was always a symbol of one's position, with your sash, I will strengthen him. U'menshaltecha etein biyado, and his, your rule, I will give in his hands. He will be a father and a patron to those who dwell in Yerushalayim and to the house of Yehuda. I'm going to give it all over. It's all going to pass to a better man than you. The one who wants to give away Yerushalayim will not be able to do it, and he will lose. He will lose his rule over the Jewish people. And I'm going to give the key to the house of David. The one who will be in charge of the house of David is going to be on his shoulders. Upatach, and Eliakim is going to be in charge. Upatach, he will open. When he opens the gates, Ein Soger, nobody closes it. V'Soger, when he closes it, V'Ein Potach, there's nobody who opens it. Utekativ Yateid B'Makom Ne'eman. I will place him like a stake in a place that's faithful. In other words, a stake represents something that stands and remains with great strength. He will be a throne of honor for the house of his father. And he's going to point out how much more is going to come to the one who takes over from Shebna. The Tolu Alav Kol Kvod Beit Aviv Hatzeetzoim Vatzfiyot Kol Kli HaKaton Mikli HaGanot Vat Kol Kli HaNevalim. A yateid is either a stake. A yateid can also be a hook that hangs on the wall, and on that hook everything is going to be placed there. Any relationship between this and a newspaper is purely coincidental. Now, the Tolu Alav, and they will hang upon that yateid called Kvod Beit Aviv, the honor of the house of his father. Hatzetzoim v'hatzefiyot. Tzetzoim and tzfiyot is a fascinating term that means children and grandchildren. They're going to be part of the glory of that house. Kol kli hakotan, small things, big things, everything. Miklei ha'aganot, kol klei ha'nevalim. Aganot are like a shizel, and the valim, of course, are the harps, and the he'll be in charge of everything. Bayomahu nu'um Hashem tzvakot. And that day, when El Yakum is going to be in charge of everything in the family, says the God of hosts, Tomush, Tomush hayateid hatkua b'makom ne'eman v'nigda'a v'nafla v'nichrat hamasa asher aleha ki Hashem diber. This passage is going to require a great deal of explanation, which we're not going to deal with now. It seems that there will come a time when the burden of the house of David is going to be that heavy that the arcade is going to come out of the wall and it's going to fall. But that's already the beginning of a completely different prophecy, and in Yetz Hashem, we'll get to that. Alright, so we did two shoots. There's only one thing left, right? The one thing left? Alright. This side, well, I don't know, we'll start a little bit now. This side is really the introduction of the homework, part of the homework that I've given you for the last few weeks, you know, and I had promised that I would give you a quiz, and I haven't done it. I know I see you coming scared every time you come into class. This is the, let's just spend the last few minutes just reading through. We'll read together so that you'll get the historic background of what's going to happen. Now, it's really the historic background for chapter 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So you have to know it so that you will be able to put the prophecies of Yeshayahu in the historical context. And for that matter, it's also part of the historic background to chapter 22, the half of chapter 22 that we just studied. On the right-hand side, we're just going to read. Let's go, right-hand side, the fourth line. Bishnat Shloshim Vatesha Shonala Azariah Melech Yehuda. In the 39th year of Azariah, king of Yehuda, Azariahu, you may recall I told you, in Melachim, he's Azariahu. In Divrei Hayamim, he's Uziyahu. As he is Uziyahu, it's the one and the same person. The Uziyahu that appears in the first pasuk of Yeshayahu and the first pasuk of chapter 6, that's this Azariahu. His whole reign was something like 52 years, but of those, that's one of the longest reigns of any king. But of those 52 years, there were about 25 or 26 that he lived right outside the walls of the old city in the Bet HaChavshit near Yad Avshalom. That's a place, Bet HaChavshit, because he was a Metzorah for 25 years and he lived in isolation out there. Bishnat Shloshim Vatesha Shonal Azariah Melech Yehuda. In the 39th year of Azariah, Uziyahu, king of Yehuda, Malach Menachem ben Gadi al Yisrael, Eser Shonim Bishamrom, Menachem ben Gadi. I mean, this is one of the things to know for a Chidon HaTanach. How many people will be able to tell you that there was a king of Yisrael by the name of Menachem ben Gadi? He was 10 years king in Shomron, Vayasar Rabbi in Hashem, Lo Sormi al Chatot Yerobim ben Nevot. He did evil in the eyes of God. We're talking about Menachem ben Gadi, who did not turn away from the sins of Yerobim ben Nevot, Asher Hechti et Yisrael Koyomah, who caused Israel to sin all of his days. Bo Ful Melech Ashur al Haaretz. full king of Ashur. Ashur is not yet superpower. And full Melech Ashur came against Eretz Yisrael, that is the northern 10 tribes. Vayitei Menachem full elef kikar kesef. Menachem gave full 1,000 kikar of kesef. Liyot yadav yitol ha-chazikam ha-melecha b'yato. He paid him off so that he should hold the kingdom in his hands. In other words, Menachem ben Gadi needed external support. You understand? That, of course, is always in history, it always became the tragedy of the Jewish people. Tragedy of the Jewish people was when we used external forces or pressure to strengthen a government in Eretz Yisrael. Every time we did that, we got ourselves into such trouble. Trouble is not the word for it. We brought upon ourselves destruction. In the last generation of the Hashmonaim, it was Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, and one of them brought in Rome on his side. And the end was that Rome took over Eretz Yisrael. Chas v'shalom, we should bring in the United Nations over here. Nobody should have anything to do over here. The only ones who should attempt to be the masters of their own destiny, Be'ezrat Hashem, with God's help, Tillim and Tfilah and our forces, we have to do it ourselves. The moment you bring in anybody who brings anybody else in, and the Nevi'im, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, spoke out in such strong terms against this. Never to make alliances, neither with Asher nor with Mitzrayim, or to bring anybody in from the outside. We have to retain and maintain our independence. Without our independence, we're lost. Anyway, it says, Vayotze Menachem et ha-kesef ha-yisrael ha-kol gibore ha-chayel la-teit le-melech Asher ha-chamish mishkolim kesef li-shachad. Menachem used the money in order to pay mighty warriors 50 shekel for each man. Vayosher melech Asher below Omad Shambarek. So now he paid off the king of Asher. So the king of Asher left, went back home, and didn't remain in Eretz Yisrael. V'yetze divrei Menachem b'chol Asher osa, everything else that Menachem did, and all that he did, Haloyim Tzum, I'll say for Dibya Yom Lamach, you saw it's written in the books of Chronicles of the Kings of Israel, by Yishka Menachem and Mavosav, by Yimloch Pekach Yahu Benot Tartav, his son Pekach Yahu. Pekach Yahu is going to be important in Yishayo. Yishnas Chamishim Shon Al Azar Yahu Melech Yildi, in the 50th year, rare that a king ruled that long. Azar Yahu is, of course, was young. In the 50th year of Azar Yom Melech Yehuda Moloch Petach Yol Menachem Yisrael B'Shomron Shnatayim Petach Yol, the son of Menachem, ruled for 2 years in Shomron. Vayasar Rabbi Enei Hashem, he did that which was evil in the eyes of God. Lo Sarmi Chatoz Yerovim Ben Nevat, he did not turn away from the sins of Yerovim Ben Nevat Asher Ech Yisrael Yisrael. Vayikshor Olav, by the way, now you should know what the word Vayikshor, we learned Al Tomrun Kesher. A Kesher is a conspiracy. So there was a conspiracy against Pekach Yahu, and you know who headed the conspiracy? Pekach ben Remaliahu. Pekach ben Remaliahu is going to appear in chapter 7. Pekach ben Remaliahu. Pekach gets rid of Pekach Yahu. Don't get your Pekachs and your Pekach Yahus mixed up. Pekach ben Remaliahu is the one who rebels against Pekach Yahu, and he's Sholisho. Sholisho means he is his aide. Vayakeu b'Shomron, he smote him in Shomron. Ba'armon Melech et Argo ve'et Ha'ayeh ve'imo chamishim ish mibnei Gil'odin vayimiseu vayimulach tartav. He had a group of 50 people who came in. They killed Pekach Yahu, and Pekach ben Remaliahu became king. We're up to the 52nd year of Uzziyahu. And by the way, he has already now been 25 years really not serving as king, but it is his son Yotam who serves as king in his place. In the 52nd year of Azaryo Melech Yehuda Malach Pekah Ben Remaliahu Al Yisrael Mishomron, and Pekah ben Remaliahu was king for 20 years. Esrim Shonah Vayasar Rabbi Hashem Lo Sor Min Chatos Yerovim Ben Nevat Asher Hechti Yesh Yisrael Bimei Pekah ben Melech Yisrael, the days of Pekah, king of Israel, bought Tiglath Pileser Melech Ashur Ashur is rising again. We've already had full, and now it's Tiglath Pileser. And he took Iyon, Obeil, Beit Machoi, Yenoach, Kedesh, Chatzor, Gilad, Galilah, Kol Eretz Naphtali, Vayaglein Ashura. This is the first wave of Jews that are sent into exile. The northern part of Eretz Yisrael, the Galil, was captured by Ashur, and he sent them off into exile. Those who live with violence die with violence. So since Pekah ben Remalyahu was the one who assassinated Pekahiah, now comes Hoshea ben Elah, and Hoshea ben Elah is going to be the last of the kings of Israel. The kingdom of Israel is coming to a tragic, tragic end. Vayikshav kesher Hoshea ben Elah al Pekah ben Remalyahu, vayakheu vayimiteu, vayimloch tachtav, v'shnat esrim liyotam ben Uziyah. Now we hear him, Yotam, and he's called Ben Uziyah. Bishnat Shtayim, in the second year of Pekah ben Remalyahu, Melech Yisrael, Molach Yotam ben Uziyahu, Melech Yehuda. We right now in Yishayahu are at the point where Yotam is king, but wait, we're also going to have to move one step beyond Yotam. Achaz, we're going to get to Achaz. From Yotam, we're going to get to Achaz. And I think that we hold on to this. We will complete this in Yirtz Hashem next week as we go into chapter 7, etc., 8, 9, 10. Okay.